Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 268, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. And what follows? Psalter 268, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 23. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 23, Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Harry and Christine Altshorn and further family. With the death of her father, Mr. Bernie Denhetoch, in Chilliwack, British Columbia, at the age of 90 years. Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Koyman, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, a most holy, good-doing, ever-faithful, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, then it has pleased thee in thy goodness to grant unto us and our children that we may witness the dawning of another day than thou hast granted another Lord's day, and then each time by renewal on thy Lord's day, then we may be given to remember that thy Son is risen indeed, and that he sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he gathers, he preserves, and defends his church, ah, Lord. And may it please thee in this moment that thou may grant a soft heart indeed under all thy goodness, an impression that the natural man has sinned it all away, lying under the sentence of death, and that thy long suffering is so great over us and our children. Oh, the prophet of old, then surely with a soft heart then he has exclaimed, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Then for another week, then thou hast been faithful for an unfaithful people. Lord, impress upon all of our hearts that for each and every one of us, we have come one week closer to that final meeting with thee. And then in thy mercy, then thou wast given another week of grace, a time to seek and to find thee. Lord, for thy people, oh, impress it, teach them that also the temporal blessings, they are merited by thee, they are covenant blessings, because thou hast given thy dear Son to purchase his people for body and for soul. And, ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth, when thou granteth it, that they may indeed receive a soft heart, where they learn that they send those blessings away each time by renewal, unworthy of the least of thy favor, and yet a people that cannot miss thee. Oh, the psalmist, he has declared in thy holy word, happy is the people that is in such a case, whose God is the Lord. Lord, we humbly ask thee that the number may be increased in this very hour, that thou may work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, that thou may bless thy word to that end, that the unconverted, that they may be given to see how poor they are, that they may be aroused to a holy jealousy. Then the prayer shall ascend to heaven, also from the benches, that thou may remember them with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. May it so please thee to work by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations. And, Lord, remember also thy people. We have heard of wonderful things. May it be for instruction, and may it be for comfort for the further leadings in the way of salvation. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Remember all thy truly called servants, elders, deacons. Do remember the students in this day. Remember the sowers of the word. Lord, then in this past week, then there is another grieving family. Thou was it granted in thy providence that the children that dwell amongst us, that they were still allowed and privileged to see their old father in his last days. It has pleased thee to take him away by the hand of death, and then the family shall be called upon to bring him to the grave. Lord, the family amongst us in the past years have been called to bring a beloved daughter, sister to the cemetery, and now in this week, called to bring their old father to the grave. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to that end, and may the callings be sanctified. So we commend all mourning ones unto thee, widowers, widows, orphans, and those that have brought beloved ones to the cemetery. We commend unto thee all our elderly ones. In the evening of their life, when the infirmities increase, those dwelling in our care home, those that may still go in and out, above all things, oh, do save their never-dying souls. We commend the sick and afflicted, all those under the doctor's care. Then for another Sabbath day, then we may acknowledge thee that there are none in the hospital. May we be given to see it. And, Lord, when we are healthy and strong, that we may be given to use that health, that we may be given to seek and to find thee. Remember the crosses, wilt thou remember the burdens. Thou wast blessed the father and mother for the first time in their married life with the birth of a little daughter. Thou wast spared life and thou wast given life. How wilt thou grant a soft heart under thy blessing? May the prayers be multiplied, that it may be a little daughter for thee, Lord. Remember so the parents with their blessing, but also with their great responsibility. May it please thee to spare parents for the child for the parents. We commend unto thee the grandparents. Wilt thou grant them a soft heart under the blessing? We remember the mothers with the unborn, Lord. Wilt thou graciously watch over them, and do remember the barren ones amongst us. We humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this morning, Lord. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee, each time by renewal, but may our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers among young and old? Wilt thou grant empty vessels? All we read in thy holy word, that there were in a house many empty vessels. And when the doors were closed, then the oil began to flow, Lord, those that are so full of the world and of self-righteousness, may it please thee to empty them indeed in this morning hour where thou hast begun, wilt thou empty further, and for empty vessels. May it please thee to be a surprising God, and that in this morning hour they can say, what we have heard out of thy holy word, my cup runneth over, Lord. Then thy praise shall ascend unto thee. That is the purpose of all purposes. May so thy word go forth with power divine. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Remember those lawfully hindered that are in their dwellings. Grant also a blessing there. Wilt thou bind this Satan? Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 254. Let us sing the first four stanzas. Oh, come before the Lord our King, and in his presence let us sing. Let us in glad and joyful lays the rock of our salvation praise. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the Book and Publishing Committee. Psalter 254, the first four stanzas. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 23, the first verse, the first part. The Lord is my shepherd. Our text words speak of the Lord is my shepherd. With three thoughts in the first place, the place of the Psalm of the Shepherd. Secondly, the eminence or greatness of the Shepherd. And thirdly, the confession concerning the Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The place of the Psalm of the Shepherd. The eminence or the greatness of the Shepherd. And thirdly, the confession concerning the Shepherd. Thus first, the place of the Psalm of the Shepherd. Beloved congregation, Psalm 23, that is perhaps the best known Psalm, the Psalm that is quoted most often under the different circumstances of life. Many times it is quoted, it is stated in the way of ignorance, other times in the way of deceit, other times in the way of false hopes, and also by the hypocrite. But the child of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then is given to state those words by true saving faith, a weaker faith, and a greater faith. And then it is necessary for each and every one of us, by the work of the Spirit, to know the shepherd of this solemn, but also to know and experience the Psalm of the Shepherd. Because the sheep, all the sheep that receive a place in the sheepfold, the little lambs, the ones that are growing up and the older sheep, they shall experience much of the Shepherd. Psalm 23, one solemn as this solemn. David has penned many solemns, approximately 80, ascribed to him perhaps more to that end. The book of the Psalms, when we think of our confession of faith, article number 4, then Guy Debray has even called that book the Book of the Psalms. When we consider the Psalms of David, many have been written in the way of trials and in the way of persecution. Psalm 86, called the Prayer of David. Other Psalms of praise, Psalm 145, David's Song of Praise, where he was given to praise the Lord, his King, in a special way. When we consider the Psalms, Psalm 23, then it has received a special place in the Psalms. And that is very instructive for us and for our children. William Booth, a Methodist minister who was founded the Salvation Army in 1865. We do not agree with all of his theology, but then he has predicted remarkable things, where he has said in his day that in the following century, and that would be in the 1900s, that there would be six matters in the church. In the first place, he has said that there would be religion without the work of the Holy Spirit. In the second place, there would be Christianity without Christ. In the third place, then he has spoken in the church, there would come a time that there would be salvation without regeneration, without that new birth. In the fourth place, then he has said that in the church there would be a speaking of pardoning and forgiveness without the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fifth place, there would come in the churches a preaching of heaven without hell. And in the sixth place, he has spoken of politics without God. Profound thoughts, how it has taken place, how he has explained each point. We leave that lie, but also profound matters for us and our children to think about, and how is it with us? And now with that precious Thanksgiving, because Psalm 23, that is David's song of thanksgiving in this solemn, then we do not read of complaint, we do not read of prayer, then David is given to speak of the shepherd through the eyes of a sheep. And of course, boys and girls, you know, that in the Bible times, sheep farming was different than in our day. There are boys and girls where you have sheep, but then many times in enclosure. But in Bible times, what in examples we have of shepherds, Abel, Jacob, his sons, Moses, David. We have the shepherds in the field of Ephrathah. But then a shepherd's life was oftentimes different than in our days. Because then the shepherd, he many times remained with the sheep day and night. Many times in Bible times than in the spring. And then the lambs, they were born close to home in an enclosure. But then later in the summer, then such a shepherd with some helpers, then he would take his sheep up into the mountains, and there they would pasture. He would take his little wagon. That means that shepherd, that he would be with the sheep by day and by night. Then when David has penned this psalm by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then his thoughts have multiplied. There are questions. Most of the commentaries believe that David has penned this psalm when he has come to a certain rest. But it is also possible, it is true, David has spoken, he restoreth my soul. But when the Lord grants it, when the gospel may be opened, then there is a restoring of the soul. Then David, whether he was young, whether it was later, then he was given to reflect upon the shepherd, upon the sheep, and given to receive wonderful lessons from above concerning the great shepherd of the sheep. Then we can feel it in this psalm that the heart of David has become soft, then it has overflowed, then in the exercise of faith, that he was given to trust in the shepherd. But now the place of Psalm 23 in the scriptures, that also has instruction for us and our children. Then we have Psalm 21. That is a psalm that speaks of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that psalm included the prophetical office that the Lord has a people that is drawn by the cords of love, that is instructed, that isn't covered to their sinnership, and that are given to make that good choice. Then they choose the Lord for their portion. They are given to make that precious choice of a Ruth, and they shall never be ashamed. And then they may experience the shepherding of the Lord, all in the way of divine providence, that tender, that close, that dependent life. Then they may experience many tokens of his favor. Thus, first Psalm 21. But in the true work of the Lord, then those souls, oh, they may be glad, they may sing, they may rejoice, they may praise the tokens of the Lord's favor. They may hear their life declared. They may experience the good things of the Lord, the blessedness of the service of the Lord. But now in the true work, and work that comes close by, then there can be a resting in providential deliverances, answering of prayers, common convictions. But what is now the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of his true people? That is to make room in their heart for that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the pardoning of their sins, and that they may be restored into that blessed communion. Because when we read, "The Lord is my shepherd," then the Spirit teaches his people the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And with everything they have experienced, then they still have the burden, it is true, when they may experience that kingship does not mean that they have a knowledge of the second person. They have to do with the Lord, but it is through Christ, and there can be times that it is all covered, but the burden of sin, the burden of their debt. Thus, first Psalm 21, and then Psalm 22. And what does Psalm 22 speak about? "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That speaks of the great shepherd, where for him as the servant of the Father, he has come upon the earth, taken the sins of all his sheep upon him. And for him, there was no fold. Psalm 22, we read of those bulls of Bashan. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." Speaks of his piercing. Speaks of the satisfaction of the Son of God. Satisfy the justice of his Father. Thus do you hear, congregation, the place of our soul. There can be people that speak of Psalm 21. It's a blessing, a privilege. Providential dealings. But do you hear it? Are there such souls in my midst? Oh, that are given to believe that Psalm 21, that love shed abroad, that is the separation, a slavish fear. That is a slavish fear, but in the true work of the Lord, then a love for the Lord, for their King, they are willing to sacrifice, they obey, try to walk perfectly in His ways. But now it is so necessary, and it is true, in the way of provision, then that people may say, the Lord is my shepherd, but in the true work, they have grieved the Lord so exceedingly. And then the Holy Spirit makes room for Psalm 22, where it is declared how the shepherd has given his life for the sheep, how their sins may be pardoned and restored into that blessed communion. Thus there can be people, Psalm 21, without Psalm 22. I hope that there are such souls in my midst. The nominal Christendom, then we meet people that are given to speak richly of Psalm 22, of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. But as Psalm 21, that is not so evident in their life, where it seems that they can walk and still serve the world, that they have never been drawn by the cords of love. Thus before Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 21, Psalm 22, and then after Psalm 23, there is Psalm 24, where it speaks of those clean hands, of the way of sanctification, but also who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up the soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, that speaks of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he has received the crown. He has went before his people, where they shall also receive the crown. The Lord is my shepherd. When we think of a shepherd, boys and girls, then we think of the shepherd. Then we think of sheep. Children can understand it. You cannot have a shepherd when he has no sheep. And then we think of a fold. Our second thought, the eminence or greatness of the shepherd. Then we read, the Lord is my shepherd. Then David is given to declare in that confession and in that praise that there is only one shepherd. In the Old Testament, who are we now to understand by the shepherd? We read of a shepherd and a flock in different places. In Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph, like a flock. We read in the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the minor prophets, that the Lord speaks of the children of Israel as a flock, and the Lord as a shepherd. Then we read in our text words, the Lord. That is all capital letters. That is Jehovah. Exodus 3 verse 14, in the burning bush, out of the burning bush, I am that I am. That speaks of the covenant Lord, that covenant faithfulness, and that he is unchangeable, that the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. Thus in the Old Testament, when we read shepherd, then we may speak of a triune God, the Father as the shepherd, where he leadeth this people through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, that he leads them all their pathway long. Then we speak of the Son who has been revealed in the Old Testament, that he is the shepherd, think out of the burning bush, and therefore the bush was not consumed. Then we may speak of the Holy Spirit, were the Spirit also in the Old Testament, that he has taught and gathered his church. Nevertheless, in the Scriptures, and that more clearly clarified in the New Testament than our boys and girls know, who is especially called a shepherd in the Bible. And boys and girls, who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the divine Trinity. And that has been especially clarified in John 10, where Jesus was speaking to the Jewish nation. And then he has clarified who the shepherd was, because in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then Jesus did not speak that he would die, but that he was given his life, that he was laying down his life. Then he was given to declare to the Jewish nation his great love for his children, that he was willing to go the way of death, that the church may be purchased and that the church may be gathered. And to that end, in John 10, then in verse 33, we read that they want to stone him because of blasphemy, that he has made himself the Son of God. Thus, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, and it is true, in the Old Testament, more veiled, more through type, symbolic, the sacrifices, the temple service, and nevertheless also in the Old Testament, how often we read in the Psalms of David, Messianic Psalms, that he was given to declare the wonderful work of the second person in the Trinity to the saving of his church. How many psalms we have that David began with speaking of his own way, but that he has went over to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of his church. Thus in John 10, then we can compare to Psalm 21, the marks of the sheep, because congregation, when the Lord works, then we become a lamb, and then we become a sheep. And the way of that flock is declared in God's holy word. Then further, in Hebrews 13, verse 20, we read of that shepherd declared in a special way, and now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There it is declared that he is the great shepherd, that he has redeemed the sheep by the precious price of his precious blood. And thus Hebrews 13, where it speaks of the great shepherd, comparable to Psalm 22, where it is declared the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then further, in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, thus do you hear it, boys and girls, maybe three names that you can remember. First, in John 10, the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, the great shepherd, none like unto him. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory, comparable to Psalm 24, where it speaks of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now where David is given to speak, and we all understand it, that the Lord, that he can never be perfectly compared with anyone or anything upon the earth. It is only in part, but it has pleased the Lord in his condescending goodness to come so low in his word, and to that end he issues very simple comparisons, that we may receive a little understanding who the Lord is, who the great shepherd is for his church. And to that end, we read of the Lord. Then David is implying that truly there is only one good, one great, and one chief shepherd. Oh, it is true. There have been shepherds that have done very much, given all their life for the welfare of the sheep, that they have done everything, even shepherds. Think of David. Our boys and girls know the history. When a lion and a bear has taken a lamb, then David in the first place did not think himself, and he says it's only a lamb. That lamb was dear unto him, and that he has rescued that lamb from the mouth and from their paw. And yet, the Lord is my shepherd. There are none upon the earth faint resemblances and much sweet instruction. Oh, also for the lambs and the sheep. Concerning the eminence of the shepherd, then in the first place, only one good shepherd. Because they read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 that there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And Peter and John in Acts 4 verse 12 have declared, none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. How does the people now learn that? How do those lambs and those sheep now learn the greatness of that shepherd? They learn that. Oh, that woman with the issue of blood. She was a lamb, a sheep of the great shepherd. Oh, young and old, when we read, the Lord is my shepherd. For those that still have an other master, that serve the devil and the world, he is such a bad master. He is such a mean master. He leads to the pastures of sin, promises much, and the wages of sin is death. Oh, what a work the shepherd has. Oh, David, what a blessing. David could say in Psalm 22 that he was given to trust in the Lord upon his mother's breast. But what a work the great shepherd has, because by nature, that we do not belong to that flock. No, that we stand outside. May it arouse to a holy jealousy. May there even be people in the bench that send sighs up unto heaven, Lord, may I now even become the smallest lamb of this good shepherd, because then it shall be well. And it is so awful, so terrible to be unconverted, thus in the first place, only one good shepherd. In the second place, the shepherd of David. He is an everlasting shepherd. We read in Proverbs 8 verse 23 that he was set up from everlasting. And in Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. For a natural flock, then for those lambs and for those sheep, then that shepherd shall not always remain. Shall come a time that there shall be sheep and lambs that they look for the shepherd. But natural shepherds, days of a year, 70 years, if by reason of strength, 80 years, and we fly away, then there is a flock without a shepherd. But now concerning the flock that David belonged to, and that includes from the youngest to the oldest, then an everlasting shepherd he shall be forever. In the third place, the eminence, the Lord is my shepherd. Then a shepherd, boys and girls, then you can help along a little bit. When you have a shepherd, or your father has some sheep, how does that flock now become greater? Then you shall say two ways. When a shepherd, when lambs may be born, then his flock becomes greater. That is for the joy of the shepherd. That gives great rejoicing. One lamb, sometime twins, sometime more. That makes the shepherds very glad. So it also in the spiritual flock, because it is the rejoicing of Christ, the good shepherd, when those sheep that have been given to him and promised him in the council of peace from that never-ending eternity. Only read John 17 when he has earnestly prayed that that sheepfold may be increased. That grants great gladness for the shepherd and for the flock. Thus one way when lambs are born. What is the other way, boys and girls? That a farmer, that a sheepfold becomes greater. That is when a shepherd or a farmer, he goes to market and he purchases a sheep. Sometimes quite pricey. There's been in the olden days when a shepherd started that he had to work many, many hours to buy his first sheep. It was by much labor. Maybe boys and girls, maybe your father has bought a sheep and told you the price, and that you thought about that price, that if you had to buy it, that may be not enough in your piggy bank, or your piggy bank would be completely empty. Thus two ways. The Lord is my shepherd, for the shepherd to increase his flock. But now, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord, the eminence, to consider the price that the good shepherd has paid to purchase his sheep. We read of that price in 1 Peter 1 the verses 18 and 19. Not by corruptible things as gold and silver, but by the precious blood of the Lamb of God without blemish. What a price he has paid that his people may be redeemed. The eminence of the shepherd in the Bible. We read of Job, boys and girls, do you know how many sheep Job had? 7,000. But now concern the shepherd of our text. John on the island of Patmos, on account of persecution, because what an enmity there is against the good shepherd of a sheep. Oh, in our day, the enmity against the Lord Jesus Christ, against that only name given under heaven, and that is such a bitter enmity that has been declared in the city of Jerusalem when the good shepherd has come to shed his blood, that they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But now John for comfort, all alone on the island of Patmos. Many times when God's people may be alone, given a few meditations, oh, John was given to see in a vision, out of all people, all tongues, nations, colors, a multitude which no man could number. And also in the book of Revelation, a multitude, small and great. Thus the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd that has so many sheep and so many lambs, and the number yet is not full. Then further, when we consider the shepherd of our text, the Lord is my shepherd, when he has paid the price and he has died for a natural shepherd, the shepherd is dead. The sheep are without a shepherd. But oh, for a David and for the people of God, a shepherd that has died to rescue his sheep from the powers of hell, from Satan, pay for their sins. He has died, but he is risen, and he is the living shepherd. Then further, the Lord is my shepherd. That good shepherd, a natural shepherd. Sometime it happens, boys and girls. Maybe you have even experienced it, that the farmer awakes in the morning and that he goes to look at his flock and that he sees bone skin, maybe a coyote, or maybe a few lambs missing, an eagle, a hawk, an owl has taken some of his flock away. Other times, that disease comes in the flock, and the farmer does what he can, but he sees it. This one did, that one did. Not always so easy in this life. But now concerning the shepherd that David was given to sing of and praise, that shepherd, those that are born in Zion by the work of the Holy Spirit and have been purchased by such a great price, then this shepherd of whom David is given to sing, he never has and he never will lose one. Declared in John 10 verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Ah, what a comfort for the lambs and for the sheep. Ah, for those little lambs that have so many questions and so many riddles. And those lambs, they can know the doctrine well. But what do those lambs now need that they may grow up and to receive the assurance that they indeed belong to that flock? Then further, when David is given to say, oh, in this psalm, surely, then it is for balm in Gilead, for the encouragement of the true people of God, to stay close with the shepherd, to seek it in his meditatorial work, but then surely in the solemn, oh, to arouse to a holy jealousy, to become part of that flock. Further, when we think of the eminence of the good shepherd, natural shepherds that have been shepherds all their life, they can understand quite a bit about their lambs and sheep. When they look at them, they can nearly see when there is trouble, sickness, fears, but only in part. Because a shepherd is not a lamb and is not a sheep. To understand fully what a lamb or sheep experiences, then you have to be one. But now the good shepherd of our text, the Lord is my shepherd. Then that shepherd, he was willing to leave the fold, we say it reverently, the fold of his father's house, where everything was blessed, no enemies, no troubles, no cares, no worries. Then he has loved the sheep with such an unfathomable love that he was willing to become a little lamb. He was born in the stable, laid in a manger, willing to become a sheep. And to that end, he has experienced what a sheep experience. And therefore, in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16 I read, and that concerns the sheep of that great shepherd. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was tempted in all things as we are, sin excepted. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may receive help in time of need. The Lord is my shepherd. A natural shepherd, he needs to sleep. Undoubtedly, the olden days, they have slept, to say it this way, the same as mothers, concerning their little children, that they are sleeping, but their ears are open for the crying of their child. So undoubtedly many shepherds, good shepherds, have lived, but the shepherds still needed their rest. But of the shepherd of our text, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 121, it is the shepherd that never slumbers and never sleeps. Oh, when we speak of that good shepherd, then we could speak of his omnipresence, omniscience, a natural shepherd. When there are many sheep and many lambs with many cares and with many troubles, he can only be one place at one time. But the shepherd of our text, everywhere present, and there are times that those lambs and those sheep may experience, that it seems like they are only sheep and only lamb. Can also be when they come to church, that they are given to believe that it is a word, especially for them. The Lord is my shepherd. Young and old, how is it with us? Should it not arouse to a holy jealousy? Because when by the grace of God, when we may be a lamb and a sheep, the shepherd has purchased for body and for soul. Let us first sing. Psalter 52, the four stanzas. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd. Therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And what follows? Psalter 52, the four stanzas. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. The place of the psalm of the shepherd. The eminence or greatness of the shepherd. And then boys and girls, then you can tell your parents how many of those points you can remember. What a great shepherd the good shepherd is. And now thirdly, the confession concerning the shepherd. Because David has stated, the Lord is my shepherd by true saving faith. And we have not time in this morning to fully explain it, but in the life of a shepherd, we shall mention two marks. They tell us in earlier days, for a shepherd, when lambs were born, or when one was purchased, then such a farmer, such a shepherd, would take such a lamb or sheep, and a block of wood, a sharp knife, and then he would put the ear of that lamb or sheep on that block, and then he would put a special mark in that ear, so the shepherd could tell that it was his sheep. And now we can understand that usually that mark on the ear, that was not so visible to the sheep or lamb himself, but it was very visible to the shepherd and to the other sheep of the flock and to other people. So the Lord for that flock, then they receive a mark. Thereof is spoken a beautiful example in Exodus 21, the first six verses, that if there was an Hebrew who had become a servant, a slave of a master, then for 6 years he must serve, but the seventh year he may go free. If he came in with a wife, he may leave with his wife. But if he had come as a slave, as a single man, and in the meantime has married the wife and received children, then that Hebrew man may leave, but the wife and children had to stay behind. But now if that Hebrew servant said, I love my master, I love my wife and my children, then that owner would take that man to a doorpost and with his ear, with an awl, then he would puncture that ear to show that he was subject to that master forever. And now the lambs and the sheep, they all receive that mark. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And now such a sheep, as a general rule, he could not see that mark except perhaps when he stood before a clear body of water and it was light, then he could see his picture. So concerning the mark of those lambs and those sheep, then they are given to read and find those marks in the Holy Word of God, the marks of grace. And then there are times that the Word of God may include them, that they find their life in the Holy Word of God. Thus in the first place, a mark. And they tell us in early days that the shepherd would also name his sheep, that they would each receive a name. And so I read in John 10 verse 3 that he calleth his own sheep by name. And for the lambs and the sheep, there shall be times that they shall hear their name mentioned, that they cannot deny what the Lord has done, the wonderful works of grace, the leadings of the Lord, all concerning. We must close for this morning. But let us mention one mark. What must those little lambs now learn? Boys and girls, if you have sheep, then those lambs, they have quite long legs. And then to drink from their mothers, then oftentimes they need to get on their knees. Sometimes even a shepherd, he has to take that little lamb and even bend his knees that he may come low to the ground to receive the mother's milk. Thus, humility, humility. Oh, David, what a precious confession. What a precious praise. The Lord is my shepherd, and to that end I shall not want. And now for examination. Then the marks of those sheep, they are laid out in John 10. In verse 2, we read of a door. That is the door of regeneration, that new birth that needs to take place. Need to receive a new heart, boys and girls. Then secondly, in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. Then God's word receives a special place. Obedience. In verse 4, the sheep follow him, willing to forsake everything and follow the Lord in sown and unsown ways. In verse 9, find pasture. Ah, those sheep. They are given to graze in the pastures of God's holy word. And then further to learn to give us life for his sheep. Verse 14, that he knows them, the blessed portion of the people of God. Christ has said to that flock, because those lambs and sheep, they have many fears. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And for those that are still outside of that sheepfold, or still a goat, what the Lord calls them in the Bible. Also in Matthew 25, the great day of judgment. But then Christ has spoken those precious words, and to that end, to place ourselves where the Lord especially gathers his sheep within his fold, and that is in his house under his word. Then Christ has declared in John 10 verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one shepherd and one fold. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of a David that was given to extol and lift thee up, a solemn of praise, and by true saving faith given to declare, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, we humbly ask thee, Oh, those other sheep, that other sheep, that they may be brought into that blessed sheepfold in this very day, as a little lamb, to desire the sincere milk of thy word, and to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Lord, for those lambs and sheep, there can be many questions, many riddles, their sin, mysterious ways, the howling wolf, the roaring lion, and then it is so necessary that thou granteth that they may be given to look upon the good, the great, and the chief shepherd who has purchased this people with his blood and who has promised to never leave and never to forsake them. Lord, remember us this Lord's Day. Remember the family circles. Well, thou grant traveling mercies. May there be a speaking in the family circles of what they have heard, the opening of thy word. Well, thou help fathers and mothers to that end. Well, thou return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 420, the third stanza. Sing praise, thou chosen Israel, who with the folds of sheep dost dwell. Thou art God's joy and treasure, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. We wish to remind the congregation that there will be a mission presentation on Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. in the church basement. The Banner of Truth and the Living Learning magazines are at the exit. Psalter 420, the third stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.